Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Later that day, Jesus left the house and sat down by the lake shore. Such great crowds gathered that he went and took a seat in a boat while the crowd stood along the shore. He addressed them at length in parables. One day, a farmer went out sowing seed. Some of the seed landed on a footpath where birds came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground where there was little soil. This seed sprouted at once, since the soil had no depth. But when the sun rose and scorched it, it withered away for lack of roots. Again, some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And some of it landed on good soil and yielded a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Let those who have ears to hear, hear this. When the disciples came to Jesus, they asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus answered, "The secrets of the kingdom of heaven are for you to know, but not for them. To those who have, more will be given until they have an abundance. Those who have not will lose what little they have. I use parables when I speak to the people, because they look but do not see. They listen but do not hear or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled in them, which says, 'You will be ever listening, but never understanding. You will be ever looking, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back to me, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. The truth is, many prophets and holy people longed to see what you see, but never saw it, to hear what you hear, but never heard it. Now listen to the parable of the sower. When people hear the message about the kingdom of God without understanding, the evil one comes along and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. Those who receive the seed that fell on rocky ground are the ones who hear the word at first, welcome it with joy, but they have no roots, so they last only for a while. When some setback or persecution comes because of the message, they quickly fall away. Those who receive the message that fell among the thorns are the ones who hear the word, but then worldly anxieties and the lure of wealth choke it off, and the message produces no fruit. But those who receive the seed that fell on rich soil are those who hear the message and understand it. They produce a crop that yields 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown." The good news.
To you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A famous preacher was in town to give a one-night-only revival. The host church was very excited to sponsor this prominent speaker, and flyers announcing the grand event were sent out everywhere. A huge crowd was expected, but unfortunately, on the big night, there was a monstrous snowstorm, and only one person was able to show up, an old farmer. The preacher went to the podium and, seeing only the one person in the vast church, walked over to him and said that he regretted that the revival would have to be canceled. The old gentleman said, "I'm just an uneducated farmer, and I don't know much about preaching. But I do know that whether you got one pig or 100, my animals have got to be fed." "You're right," said the reverend. "You went to all the trouble to get here. I need to feed you with the word of God." And he did. That preacher began to preach. He denounced sin. He praised virtue. He taught about the prophets and the patriarchs. He ridiculed the Pharisees and honored the courage of the apostles and evangelists. Skillfully, he tied the Old Testament with the New, weaving themes of right and righteousness through his favorite, most inspiring scripture stories. The Holy Spirit took over. He was on fire, shouting hallelujahs and amens over and over again, knowing that the crowd, had they been there, would surely have done so. There was no stopping him for 2 solid hours. Finally, emotionally overcome and breathing heavily, he wiped away the sweat and the tears and said to his audience of one, "What did you think?" "Well," came the reply, "I'm just an old farmer, and I don't know much about preaching. But I do know that when I got only one animal to feed, I don't give it all the feed I got." Our gospel for today gives us a very different image of the divine. Instead of the usual metaphors of king or lord or creator, Jesus tells us about God the farmer. And according to biblical scholars, that's all he does with that image. He just introduces it and leaves the interpretation to us. That is, if we have ears to hear. Yes, there is an explanation of the parable in Matthew's gospel, but that was added later. So about 2/3 of what I read to you was editorial comment, not the original parable. You noticed that I paused after I read, "Let those who have ears to hear, hear this." Now, the lectionary gives us an option for this Sunday. Stop at verse 9, where Jesus stopped, we think, or read on to verse 23. You're probably thinking, why did he put us through all that? Our ancestors in the faith used that part after the pause to keep converts from backsliding. Don't you love that word? A curious moralistic term used by evangelicals. You don't want to be like the ones who hear the word but don't follow through, do you? Did the seed fall on rocky soil in your heart? Be careful. Don't let the devil swoop in and steal it away. Don't let it be choked by selfish cares and pleasures and riches. This was a good beat you over the head use of the parable. A good guilting to keep folks in line. No backsliding. But that doesn't seem to be what Jesus intended by this analogy. Jesus simply wanted to introduce us to the image of God the farmer and see what the imagination can do with that. That's what parables are supposed to do, make you expand your thinking. Those who added the commentary to today's parable tell us that the seed is the word, that God the farmer is spreading the word around. What does that mean? Well, it's likely that they thought of the word the way it is presented in today's first reading from Isaiah, where the Hebrew term dabar is used. D-A-B-H-A-R. Dabar is translated as word, but it is so much more than that. In Genesis, dabar is the powerful creative energy that brought about existence itself, that set the universe in motion, the Big Bang, as it were. It's not just word. Dabar is action that brings life, and it is wisdom that moves the heart. It is word, yes, but it is also the profoundly holy and glorious work that emanates from the Word. Our Isaiah reading is just two sentences long. And to have a more thorough appreciation of what the divine farmer is scattering, it's helpful to read it again. For just as the heavens, as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the sower and bread for food, so will my word, my dabar, that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will carry out my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. You can see how word is an inadequate translation of that dynamic concept. Dabar is more like a verb, an action word, than a noun. You might say it is divine nature to go about dabaring, planting powerfully and creatively and getting things done. A farmer went out sowing and sowing and sowing. And this farmer doesn't give up. The farmer is smart. This farmer doesn't dump all the seed in one place like the preacher in my opening story. This farmer knows we are moving targets. At one immature point in my life, the seed might just bounce off of me. At a much later, a much wiser point in my life, I might get it. This farmer keeps sowing, tossing seeds everywhere, dropping dabar, and waiting and wanting the word to find root, causing the creative to capture the heart. Eventually, what is sown not only sprouts, but yields a big harvest. God the farmer is patient. Now, I just said that God the farmer is smart. Many professional farmers would surely disagree with that. Why, they might ask, would the divine farmer waste all that seed? A good farmer doesn't deliberately allow seed to fall where it won't take root. Who does that? Smart farmers do targeted farming. They sow where and when the soil is right for the right kind of seed. You're just throwing your seed away if you drop it on rock or among weeds that choke the life out of it or where animals will eat it. Bob sometimes points to plants in his garden that love shade and others that love sun. He even says that some thrive on neglect. Put the right plant in the right place at the right time and you get a rich harvest. But God the farmer just throws seeds everywhere, wastefully. It's like the old teacher's axiom, if you throw enough crap against the wall, some of it is bound to stick. That's not efficient farming. Now, targeted farming is surely practical, but it's not the wildly generous scattering of dabar. Our divine farmer never has to worry. There is no running out of seed, no running low on hope, no shortage of wisdom, no absence or diminishment of dabar. Jesus told the story, I believe, to illustrate the good news that the reign of God is now and forever and unlimited. God in Jesus and through us, his followers, will continue to sow seeds of love with the powerful creative energy that we call dabar. That is what the reign of God is about. Planting seeds. Get out there and plant some seeds. And no matter how much it is ignored, no matter how many failures the people of God may see along the way, we need only look to the future, to a full harvest. Jesus is teaching us to be forward-thinking, hope-filled people. I am like God the farmer when I am wasteful in my planting, in my sharing of my faith, when I sow love and justice without regard to how well it will be received. Whether your seed sowing gets you the middle finger or a power salute, it doesn't matter. Just keep planting. The reign of God most surely happens when we are patient and unrelenting in this task. It is like the parable of God, the prodigal father, wastefully lavishing blessings on both his immature sons, living with a crazy hope that those seeds will take root and those sons will learn to bless each other. Last weekend, we remembered the flawed but courageous men who declared our independence from England 250 years ago. It was a bold experiment, to say the least. Many of us, however, celebrated with heavy hearts, like those exiled Israelites whom Isaiah tried to comfort and encourage. Our nation, like Israel, has reached a truly low point. Fascism, with its resulting governmental corruption and greed, is here, and democracy struggles to survive. We see so much rocky soil, so many hardened footpaths, so many weeds that strangle potential plants. It's hard to have the hope and patience of God the farmer. Still, I find comfort in the words of Paul in today's second reading. I consider the sufferings of the present to be nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. All creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the children of God. In us, Dabar is always on its way. Seed sowing, spreading the word, the Dabar, the love and justice of God's reign, does not always happen happily. It can happen in frustration and sadness and fear and anger. It is tempting to do just targeted farming, writing off the ones who won't listen anyway, just focusing on those we think have a chance to get it. You know the attitude. Conservatives only talk to other conservatives. Liberals only talk to other liberals. Preaching to the choir, we call it. Why waste your energy on those stubborn people? But to be like God the farmer, with all that seed, all that hope, all that love, to be like God the farmer, all that sowing has to be done absolutely everywhere, as crazy and impractical as that may seem. May it be so. Your thoughts?